Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 777. The topic is training, and the title is Balancing Strength and Aesthetic Training. So, how can we balance training for both strength and aesthetics? What I wanted to do today was kind of just talk about some questions that have recently come up with emails from listeners or clients or just people who've reached out for potential to be clients, things like that. And it's in a sense of this category is people want to get stronger, they want to get bigger or better muscle shape, but they're having confusion over how to do those things together. And why would we want to do this? There are benefits for all strength athletes to work towards aesthetics, meaning like how their muscles look. There are benefits for all aesthetic athletes to work towards strength, meaning if they just want big, pretty muscles, why do they care how strong they are? So there are benefits, and then we're going to go through some examples. So if you're a strength athlete, why should you work on aesthetics? There are many reasons, but I just want to kind of highlight some. One is going to be for balance in the joints. When we think of all the muscles that connect to our joints, such as like our elbow, our shoulder, our knee, our hip, if we don't have a balance of the kind of size of those muscles, then it's likely we're going to have a discrepancy, an imbalance of the strength of those muscles. Meaning if, like a good example is a lot of strength athletes will focus on grip. What they tend to focus on in order to improve grip is the flexion of their wrist. Not enough strength athletes actually work on extension of the wrist. The imbalance of the musculature between flexion and extension of the wrist can actually cause elbow pain. If their extensors are not as strong as their flexors, there's an imbalance of the musculature pull off the elbow joint when they hold on to things. So they can be having elbow pain, say for example in their bench press, that's actually related to an imbalance of musculature in their forearm. So they would want to treat like their accessory training, their side training, like after their main events, their main lifts, as more aesthetic athlete. Like, am I balancing everything? Am I touching on everything? If I've done flexion of a joint, have I done extension of the joint? And the more they pay attention to kind of even development, the way in which an aesthetic athlete would, the more balanced their musculature will be around their joints. That allows for more efficient usage of the musculature around the joint, more efficient positions. That's going to make them stronger. It's also going to reduce the risk of injury. And furthermore, the more they develop the size of the muscle, the more overall nerve connections you can create to the muscle. It improves overall strength over time, but it also improves mind-muscle connection for cueing positions. So a common one you'll see is if somebody's underdeveloped in their external rotator muscles of the glutes, they will tend to be weak. As they descend in the squat, their knees will cave to kind of provide stability structure for the adductors, since they're not getting stability strength from the abductors, from the small glutes and external rotation muscles. Their knees will cave. They'll either not hit parallel, or as soon as they hit parallel, their knees cave inward to try to drive up, and that's eventually going to limit their overall strength. So I know somebody who squats like over 700 pounds, but in no way in hell is it parallel. And they would never pass parallel in a legitimate federation. And the only reason why is because they've underdeveloped internal glute muscles. They've underdeveloped external rotation muscles. The problem is their coach doesn't know that. They don't know that. So this person continues to squat high all the time, and they can only go to one federation that's a complete bullshit federation because it passes anything. These are things where somebody's 700-pound squat, they're super strong. But by missing these small little muscles, the muscles that aesthetic athletes commonly wouldn't miss. They're actually limiting their progression, and they're going to cause themselves a risk of injury. This is very important stuff. So if you're a strength athlete, you do need to think more like an aesthetic athlete. It has many benefits to you. Now, if you're an aesthetic athlete, why do you care about being stronger? Well, plain and simple, progressive overload gets pretty damn hard if you don't get any stronger. How do we get bigger muscles as we progressively just put more weight load on them? Now, you can do this through different types of stimulus. It isn't, you know, only that, like, if I get a little bit stronger, I will also get bigger. It's not always true. But in general, the stronger I get, the more I can lift in my bodybuilding ranges. So bodybuilders, for example, they'll spend a lot of time doing sets of 10. Whereas powerlifters spend a lot of time doing singles, maybe up to 5 reps. They typically don't even do 5. So they'll do a lot of singles, doubles, and triples. Powerlifters do eventually get big, but they don't get well-defined, rounded, separated muscles very often. I'm going to talk about this in a second here in even more detail. But in general, powerlifters will get thick. If you lift in a lot of sets of 10s, like 10 to 20 range, you get separation, you get more definition in the muscle, but you don't get that overall thickness. The reason why is we need a blend of these things. We need the big, heavy, sheer weight of maximal efforts, but we need the more time under tension, more thorough musculature stress to all fibers that longer time under tension allows. So an aesthetic athlete, if you want to get overall thicker and bigger, you have to drop your rep ranges down below 10, get down into some sets of 3s and 5s, really get that heavy overloaded stress on the musculature. Then when you do your sets of 10 to 20, you can move a little bit more weight, you can maybe endure a little bit more stress and pain, and you get a little more size and separation. So that's the idea. As an aesthetic athlete, why we want to get stronger is that it allows us to increase the weight we move over time. If today I can do 100-pound dumbbells for 10 reps, but I get strong enough to where I can do 120-pound dumbbells for 10 reps, that adds up to more weight per set. Therefore, I get more growth stimulus. So we do need both. Some challenges people have faced, like one conversation recently with a female. She said, every time I switch to powerlifting, I gain weight. So this female does aesthetic competitions and she does powerlifting. And I've coached her for the aesthetic competitions. And she wants to get into the powerlifting. She doesn't feel comfortable yet to compete in it, but she is strong enough. So I'm just trying to work on getting her courage up. But she felt, basically what happened was, is I coached her for the aesthetic competitions. Then in her off season, she kind of like did her own thing and worked on powerlifting and wondered why she gained weight and got fluffy. Now she came back and asked for some help. So just to be clear, I wasn't helping her in the part when she got fluffy. So not that I have that big of an ego, but I want to make sure that people know I'm not the one that made her fluffy. So what was happening basically is she was trading the time that she would typically have done a lot of volume of work in her aesthetic competition kind of training. She was trading that time for like technique work on main lifts. So for example, when she would squat, she would maybe do the bar for a set of 5, then maybe like 95 pounds for 5 reps, 115 for 5 reps, 135 for 5 reps, 155 for 5 reps, 175 for 5 reps, and then maybe doing like 185 to 205 for her working sets of like, you know, 3 to 5 reps, something like that. The problem was, is all those sub-maximal warm-up sets, the efforts at 95, 115, 135, 155, 175, none of those efforts really were maximal effort. They didn't really result in a lot of caloric burn. They didn't damage a lot of tissue. So she was practicing the lift, but she wasn't getting anything else. Whereas typically, in her aesthetic-based training, she would not do 6, 7, 8 sets that weren't like maximal effort in regards to cardiovascular burn, muscular burn, or muscular effort. So more of her workout is now spent when she does powerlifting. More of her workout is spent doing sub-maximal efforts because she has to practice technique. So what I did was I helped her streamline how many actual warm-up sets she needs, and then helping with the workout structure to make sure we include muscle cardio circuits at the end of her workout. So, for example, she goes into the gym on a squat day. She goes through movement preparation. She has weak hips. She has an old hip injury that I helped her fix on the way to doing an aesthetic competition. But she does like hip movements and kind of postural-based movements to prepare herself for squatting. She then does squats, but her warm-up sets are supersetted with a secondary activity to help increase caloric burn, but not increase a lot of time. Then on her max effort of squats, she crushes those and does well. And immediately afterwards, she goes into a circuit of many accessory movements that relate to her squat, but they're also done as a circuit with short rests and appropriate weight loads, so she has muscular burn, cardiovascular burn, and muscular stress. So what we're doing is ensuring that her structure allows her to focus on strength, but it doesn't waste time and it doesn't miss the other elements. So that was the main adjustment we made for her, but something that we would want to think about if you're having issues that when you do strength training, you feel like you gain weight, be aware that your technique work in strength training, your sub-maximal practice sets, don't burn a lot of calories. So pair something with them that does, or make sure you're efficient at moving through those at a quick pace. If you squat the bar for 3 pounds, like 5 reps, and then you want to move to 95 pounds, put the plates in the bar and get right back under it and get going. Don't bullshit. Don't stand around for 2-3 minutes. Don't BS with friends. Get your ass moving, okay? Get the practice sets in that you need, but don't waste time. Another thing we had was somebody reached out and we were talking about the need for them to do heavy-based training. They're a powerlifter. They actually have an amazing physique. I mean, they're an aesthetic athlete, and they have an amazing physique. But they've kind of reached a point where they don't feel like they're getting any bigger. They continue to refine their kind of aesthetic. They're refining and getting better. They're refining and getting better. But in the last 3 years, they haven't even really moved up much in competition weight. Maybe like 5-10 pounds. That's it. So I was telling them that they need to get stronger so they can then move heavier weight loads and thicken their whole body as a unit. They need to just get freaking thicker rather than sitting here refining a small amount of clay. So put more clay in the damn thing and then refine it. So what they said in counter was, they said, well, all the powerlifters I know are fat. I don't want to get fat. And man, is that sad. But not all powerlifters are fat. If you look at if you eliminate kind of the open weight classes. So in powerlifting, there are weight classes. There are, if I tried to guess at them all, I'm not going to get them all right. But like in males, for example, there's a 148-pound class, 163, maybe 170-something, I don't even know, but it's like 185, then 198, then 220, 242, 275, 308. I think that's close enough. But the people who can be 308+, yeah, they're going to be fat, usually. The people who are 275 to 308, they're probably pretty chubby too, because it's hard to be 275 of like lean muscle mass. The people from 242 to 275, they'll probably be a little bit leaner, but they're probably still going to have some body fat on them. And then the people at probably 220 are probably going to get a lot leaner, 198 way leaner, 181 and below, probably six-pack abs and looking great. So not all powerlifters are fat. Just the top end, like open heavyweight classes, are mostly fat. And you don't even have to be fat to be a powerlifter. Typically, like we said, is what happens when somebody focuses on strength, they forget to do the other things. They forget to do cardiovascular stuff. They forget to do a lot more volume. So they just kind of go into the gym, some of them do like 35 minutes of warm-ups, which is absolutely insane and unnecessary. Some of them bullshit and don't do much of a warm-up. They lift a couple heavy things, then they bitch and whine about sets of 10 being cardio as they bullshit with their friends and half-ass the efforts of all the assistance exercises. So if they were actually to take it serious and do it correctly, when you look at the people who hold records who are great at powerlifting, they're usually pretty damn lean except for the open heavyweight class. So the clients I have clients who are amazing at powerlifting, like elite level classifications. They're shredded. They're ripped. And that's because we focus on everything. So not all powerlifters are fat. And if you want to do powerlifting, you certainly don't have to be fat. Not in any way whatsoever. Okay? You just have to make sure that your training includes cardiovascular concepts and proper nutrition. So most people powerlift because it allows them to be lazy about food and lazy about the other things they have to do. They just kind of stand in one place and move a weight, and it feels like they're athletic. Now, that's semi-offensive. Deal with it. So, prove me wrong by being not that. another person said, I train for strength, but I'm not really getting any bigger. So they were an aesthetic athlete who they wanted to get the blend of strength and size. And this person, they were a strength athlete. So they said, well, I train for strength and I do all my accessories and I do all the stuff I'm supposed to do after my big lifts, but I'm not getting bigger. Why is that? Well, number one, their nutrition wasn't sufficient. They weren't eating properly to fuel recovery in regards to growth. And they especially were not moving correctly during their accessory work. They were going through their accessory work, just kind of hammering it to get to like 10 reps. They weren't paying attention to the muscle contraction and eliminating momentum. So they need to lift without momentum on the movements that they want to get growth from. You have to move like a bodybuilder to look like a bodybuilder. So you have to move slow, controlled, like feel the muscle stretch under tension, feel the muscle contract under tension. But there needs to be purposeful, controlled, slow motion to those movements. They were just kind of loading up a lot of weight, cranking through 10 reps in 10 seconds, and then just dropping the weight stack and wondering why they weren't getting bigger. So if you're a strength athlete and you don't feel like you're getting bigger, pay attention to the quality of what you're doing with your accessory exercises. Like if you're doing tricep presses, press downs to amp or bench press, are you just hammering through those bullshitting with your friend? Or are you going slow, eliminating all momentum? Okay. Then the last thing would be is somebody who trains for aesthetic, but they haven't gotten a lot stronger. And the reason for that is because they're not really dipping down into strength-based time under tensions. So if everything they do is like 20 seconds or more, that's not going to produce a lot of strength. You have to get down into sets of effort that are like 10 seconds. So that's going to give you a heavier weight load and more of a stimulus that'll kind of touch on the nervous system rather than just muscular damage itself. So they need to dip down into activities of 10 to 20 seconds of time under tension, not just 30, 40, 60 seconds of time under tension. Okay? So these are some topics of concern or topics of issue that when you're wanting to balance aesthetic training and strength, these are some common things people will have kind of misconceptions over or make mistakes with. If you, in your training, are trying to balance getting as strong as you can with as much muscle size and shape that you want, but you're wanting to increase both, if you're struggling with that in any way, reach out to us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I help people all the time, and I would love to help you. This is what I do for a living, and I freaking love it. I'm blessed and very grateful for my position in life. So let me help you. Reach out to us. Let us know what you're struggling with. We'll give you advice and tips on how to correct it, okay? So we can do it as a consultation where other people can listen in, and we can make a podcast out of it for other people to learn from. Or I'll just help you privately if you don't feel comfortable doing that. But reach out to us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Our website is www.brutalirongym.com. So if you reach out, we're happy to help. We'd love to help. So thank you for that opportunity. If you think this podcast is helpful, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, like I say, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you. So we want to know what you want to learn about. And you can let us know at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.